Lake Effect continues on WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Teich. A few months ago, we learned about a Milwaukee startup called GenoPalette, which is using DNA analysis to advise people on foods to eat and foods to avoid. During that interview, nutritional data analyst Laura Danner mentioned one of the revelations that had emerged from the first few dozen genetic analyses the company had done.
One thing that I think a lot of people have had a positive experience with has been something called intuitive eating, which is really listening to our body signals and really trying to figure out what we're hungry for, as opposed to just following whatever patterns are prevalent in the American diet today.
With many of us using the start of the year as a reboot for our eating habits, we thought the idea of intuitive eating deserved a closer look. The principles surrounding it have actually been the subject of scientific study for some time.
Sherry Zhang is the founder and CEO of GenoPalette and is also a longtime genetics and nutrition researcher, and so we invited her back into the studio to examine intuitive eating more closely. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much for having me back, Mitch.
So, can you give us kind of a working definition of intuitive eating?
Sure. Intuitive eating is a very interesting concept. It has been applied in the last years. So intuitive eating is a way of eating that encourages people to apply a set of simple principles to help someone to navigate and find a healthier relationship with food. So it involves in listening and paying attention to your body's cues for hunger and satiety, and also at the same time be very mindful about, you know, food can be easily used or abused as a emotional response.
So this isn't just about types of food. This is about just the entire nature of our eating.
Exactly. Yeah, there is. You know, obviously, we pre-programmed, you know, we have this blueprint that our ancestors worked very hard to ensure the survival rate is high for us. And because of that, we are pre-programmed for certain, you know, frameworks of have more higher capacity to digest different kinds of fats. Or in my case, I'm from Asia originally. I have tons of a capacity to digest carbs. I can notice that difference when I'm comparing with my Caucasian friends.
Yeah. So let me take a step back. This seems like, to hear how you describe it, the way historically we ate for centuries, the idea that we ate when we were hungry and we stopped eating when we were full and we ate the things that our body was calling for.
Exactly. So now we have so many distractions in our modern life. You know, we have this agenda of, you know, we have to get on to the next thing. And then we have all this bombardment from the advertising, the food industry, that this is a good diet, this is the next big thing, you have to try this and that. So all this distraction make this harder and harder for us to really listen to the cues in our bodies in a peaceful way. I think we should really do some due diligence and to reestablish that relationship with our body and the body to our food.
Are there things in, you know, for lack of a better term, the Western diet or the kinds of foods that so many of us eat in this country and in society, are there things in those foods that are actually keeping us from more clearly hearing what our bodies are asking for?
Yeah, for example, high sugar, right, or processed carbohydrates, refined carbohydrates and fats too. So all these signals that originally we are very sensitive to, right, a little bit the nutrients, a little bit nutrition and food and energy source is so precious in our ancestors' life because, you know, they hunt down, they chase their dinner and they finally got it. And then sometimes when they have that ripe fruits, that's why we got this very sensitive feedback loop to the rewarding to when we get something sweet. You know, I was very excited and it would make us satisfied. But now we have this unlimited supplies of those sweeteners and fats and so on. Our brain is really confused and they're not programmed to deal with so much signals of satiety and rewards. And at the end of that, it became desensitized. So, you know, it's harder for us to really find that intuition that's really, you know, is more agreeable to the wildness that was pre-programmed.
Well, and so how do we turn, if not turn the clock back, how do we start to go back to the way things were? What are the kinds of things that we can do to break out of that cycle and actually hear the cues and read them?
Yeah. First thing, just eat when you are hungry. Really listen to that. And, you know, maybe don't think about the dieting at all for a few days. You know, think about what really interests your palate. What do you like? Do you like spicy food? Do you like sweet? What kind of sweet do you like? And maybe next time you want something sweet, go for honey instead of artificial sweetener. Don't put those artificial things and bags of powders into your coffee anymore. You know, take a black coffee. It is. It's so wonderful as it is. And I enjoy simple ingredients nowadays. And it gives me such a, you know, a pleasure that I can appreciate so much more. And then you can be creative and, you know, mix things up a little bit. But again, I think naturally simple ingredients that give you pleasure is the food that you want to eat.
Once you've been able to kind of take some of these distractions away and are going for the things that you have a taste for, whether they're spicy or salty or sweet or anything else, as a molecular biologist, how do we know that this is really what our body wants and these aren't false cues?
Right. Yeah. Great question. We don't necessarily know all the time, but our gut feelings on this topic is pretty good. You know, it, again, take all these drugged effect from, you know, all this high sugar processed food. If you can really quiet down your body for a day or two, you'll be able to have very good intuition for what's really is agreeable to your body program. And take advantage of the technologies we are offering. You know, 100 years ago, we would never have a way to sequence your DNA and to track down your ancestry. Now we can. You know, all this Ancestry.com, 23andMe, Genome Palette, all these great platforms, they can help you get the initial insights of your DNA sequence for your nutrition, molecular pathways that make you at risk or at advantage and for certain food.
Your suggestion a few moments ago that we ought to eat when we are hungry is on one level obviously sort of very intuitive, but I know there has been a lot studied and written about whether we even realize that we're hungry sometimes. I mean, there are people who might eat because they're bored or might eat because they're stressed or they might eat for other reasons. What does it take to be able to figure out whether you're eating because you're hungry or eating for other reasons?
Yeah, great, great point. So part of the intuitive eating involves the awareness of food can be applied as an emotional response to anger, to sadness, anxiety, stresses from your work or relationship. All that can make you wanting to use the food to make it a more enjoyable situation than it is. But what happens, as we all know, I have done that. I hope you haven't, but I'm assuming you have done that.
I'm sure I have, yes.
Once or what, twice in your life. When we do that, the problems don't go away, obviously, because we eat. We didn't deal with the problem. And then at the end of it, now that the problem is still there and we feel more guilty, you know, because we you know, we gain pounds.
Right. We still have the problems, and we have the additional problem of having eaten the wrong thing or too much of the or too much of something.
Right. And on top of that, we actually once again abuse our body one more time, and it makes such a vicious cycle. You know, just make it into a bad habit. And many people are stress eaters, as we sometimes describe them are. And I think for people, including myself momentarily, when we have the wanting to use food as a tool to solve those emotional problems, you know, just sit back and say, this is a wrong way of using food that way. Food is for our nutrition, for your health, for pleasure. And if you can go back to that mentality, I think you are one step closer.
There's a certain amount of mindfulness that has to go into that, being able to interrupt the thought where I'm just going to reach for that bag of M&Ms in my drawer.
Right. Yeah. You need to be, you know, mindful, intelligent about it. And I think it's a habit can be reformed. You know, it's rewarding because your body going to like you and thank you afterwards. And this is how I quit soda. Many years ago, I love soda. I love Coke. And you know, and then I read about all these, other than sugar, that we all know, soda is bad for your bone health too. So and skin for a female. So I just one day I said, you know, I'm gonna try to stay away from it. And in the beginning it was very hard, and I still crave for that from time to time. But my body likes it, and it forms this almost like a different cues when next time I drink soda, it actually doesn't like it. It has a different signals in my body. It's very interesting.
How long did it take you to realize that your body no longer liked it?
Months for me, for soda, and probably never for ice cream. I recently, from my report, my company did, I'm lactose intolerant, and before I was like a guessing game. I said, you know, maybe I have the other part of the gene can do it. But and then it, you know, I got the result back. I was like, you know what? For the first time, I'm gonna totally be, you know, honor my body in a respectful way. So I took that away. But you know, I miss ice cream, regular ice cream. All the time.
Well, and I think that, but I guess the point that I was getting at is there are some things that people might notice right away, but there are other things that are really going to take time to recognize when it comes to the benefits of intuitive eating.
Yeah, correct. It's a process, just as everything else. We have 28,000 genes in our body, and the combinations of that, it's almost, you know, unlimited. Combinations of enzymes, pathways, networks, organs, you know, tissue specificity and all that. I don't want to bore you with that, but this is my world. So I know how complex that system can be. Half of these genes have something to do with digesting our food because that's guarantee our survival in the history. So just be aware of this. To me, it's not a, you may think it's, oh, it's too much. You know, how could I deal with it? But to me, it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. You know, life is such a course, and, you know, don't you be bored if you know that the answer right away? Don't you want to explore a little bit with your food, your nutrition, your relationship, your body a little bit more?
So how does science from here study, you know, what are the next frontiers in understanding intuitive eating?
I think there's several aspects. One will be brain science, neuroscience. Now, you know, we have exponential growth in the knowledge, in that the body of knowledge we have. And that will keep fueling our theories and, you know, the biomarkers we identified and so on. Another one is microbiome, you know, all these, you know, bacteria species that are living in our body in a synergistic way or, you know, harmonious way. A harmonious way that hopefully will help if when we have better understanding of what is what, it will help us to have a holistic view of you know, learning about ourselves in an intuitive way.
It's an exciting time to be in this field.
Yes, And the DNA, of course.
Yes, that's exactly.
Always important.
Well, Sherry Zhang, it was a delight to see you again. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Sherry Zhang is a nutrition and genetics researcher and the founder and CEO of Milwaukee-based GenoPalette. There's more on intuitive eating at WUWM.com.